A reading from the second book of Samuel. In those days, all the tribes of Israel came to David in Hebron and said, "Here we are, your bone and your flesh. In day past, when Saul was our king, it was you who led the Israelites out and brought them back. And the Lord said to you, 'You shall shepherd my people Israel, and shall be commander of Israel.' And all the elders of Israel came to David in Hebron. King David made an agreement with them there before the Lord, and they anointed him King of Israel." The word of the Lord.
Let us go rejoicing to the house of the Lord. Let us go rejoicing to the house of the Lord. Let us go rejoicing to the house of the Lord. Let us go rejoicing to the house of the Lord. I rejoice when I heard them say, "Let us go to the house of the Lord." And now our feet are standing within her gates, O Jerusalem. Let us go rejoicing to the house of the Lord. Let us go rejoicing to the house of the Lord. Jerusalem is a city built with unity and strength. It is there that the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord. Let us go rejoicing to the house of the Lord. Let us go rejoicing to the house of the Lord. For Israel's law is to praise God's name and there to give God thanks. There are set the judgment thrones for all of David's house. Let us go rejoicing to the house of the Lord. Let us go rejoicing to the house of the Lord.
A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Colossians. Brothers and sisters, let us give thanks to the Father, who has made you fit to share in the inheritance of the holy ones in light. He delivered us from the power of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him were created all things in heaven and on earth, the visible and the invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he himself might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile all things for him, making peace by the blood of his cross, through him, whether those on earth or those in heaven. The word of the Lord.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. The rulers sneered at Jesus and said, "He saved others, let him save himself, if he is the chosen one, the Christ of God." Even the soldiers jeered at him. As they approached to offer him wine, they called out, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." Above him there is an inscription that read, "This is the King of the Jews." Now one of the criminals hanging there reviled Jesus, saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." The other, however, rebuking him, said in reply, "Have you no fear of God, for you are subjected to the same condemnation? And indeed we have been condemned justly, for the sentence we receive corresponds to our crimes. But this man has done nothing criminal." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." He replied to him, "Amen, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." The Gospel of the Lord.
Good morning, everyone. And a very special welcome to the men, women, boys, and girls of the RCIA who are beginning their journey to the Easter sacraments, which will be celebrated at the Easter Vigil, in which they will become full members of the Catholic Church. Today is the last Sunday of the church year, the Feast of Christ the King. And the church always culminates the liturgical year with this joyful feast, honoring Jesus as our sovereign Lord and King of the universe. But if we stop and think for a moment, the kingship of Jesus that we do celebrate today is very different than a kingship experienced in our world. So I'd like to focus on just a couple of things regarding the kingship of Jesus. First of all, the throne that Jesus is sitting on, or shall we say nailed to, is the cross. That is his throne. Stop and think about that. The throne for this king is a cross. The crown, or the crown of thorns, placed on his head. We begin there. The kingship of Jesus is a state of being in which he is totally humiliated before the world. He comes as the servant, as he empties himself of all that he is as God, so he may fill us up with the richness of God. It's interesting to note this as well. A king usually speaks of his people as his subjects, those who are under his rule. Jesus, as king, speaks of us as his brothers and sisters, which we experience beginning in our baptism. We become brothers and sisters of Jesus in baptism. Thus, there is with our king a familial relationship, a family relationship. A family, all of you come from a family, of course. Families, when they are dealing with personal crises or sorrow or suffering, death, whatever it may be, they all rally around each other and with the person who is suffering. They want to do everything they can to help alleviate the anguish the person is going through. That's what families do. Jesus, as our King, who sees us as our brothers and sisters, what does he do? He knows that we have experienced the pain of sin, beginning with original sin and entering into our own personal sins. He knows what sin has done to us and how it affects us. And thus he comes in his kingship, we who are members of his family, to free us from that suffering. And how does he do it? By his death on the cross, the throne that he's mounted, and the crown that he wears, the thorns, to free us from the tragedy of sin. He wants his family to be filled with the richness of God. Another aspect of what we see today on this feast is found in the Gospel of Luke that Deacon Willie just proclaimed. And it deals with the good thief, the man who is hanging next to Jesus. The good thief is called Saint Dismas. The church honors him as a saint. Saint Dismas, in the final moments of his life, his heart is permeated by the grace of conversion. He's on the cross right next to Jesus. And the grace of God flowing through the Son of God, Jesus, enters into the heart of this man. And he recognizes who Jesus is. And in this moment of conversion, having lived a life of crime and all kinds of other evils perhaps that have surrounded him, he's never really known God. It's quite obvious that he has not. In this moment of conversion, he recognizes who Jesus is, and he turns to Jesus and he says those profound words, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And what does Jesus say? He looks at him and says, "Today you will be with me in paradise." What a powerful moment. And what does it say about Jesus, our King? He is always looking for the one who was lost. He's always looking for the one who was strayed, the one who has lost his sense of God, the one who has become disconnected from the family. It's like a mother and father dealing with a rebellious son or daughter. Some of you may have. And the son or daughter leaves the home. They will no longer want to be in the household with you. And you are in anguish and agony over that. And you never stop reaching out to the son or daughter to bring them back into the household, to bring them back into the family that loves them. You keep reaching out and says, "Please come home. Please come back to us. We love you." And that is what Jesus, our King, does as the shepherd. He is forever reaching out to the one who is lost, and he's saying, "Please come back to me. Come back into the family that I have created out of my death and resurrection. Come back and experience what I alone can give you. Come back and be loved by God." The very reason you and I go to confession, when we go to confession, is to experience this kind of Jesus, this shepherd king. Because every time we go into the confessional, we are in some way or another the lost sheep. We are lost in some capacity. And Jesus looks at us in that profound sacrament, and he says to us, "Welcome home. I have been waiting for you." That's what he says at the sacrament of reconciliation when we go to confession. "Welcome home. I have been waiting for you. And now you are part of the family again." This is Jesus, the King, the Shepherd. And this is whom we are honoring and praising today. The one who laid down his life for his brothers and sisters, not his subjects. The one who allowed himself as king to become empty, so that you and I may be filled with the kingdom of God. The one who is forever looking for the lost, that they may be part of the family of God, and thus the kingdom of God. I end my homily just with a word to the RCIA. One of the main reasons you seek to become a full member of the Catholic Church is because you believe that in this family of Catholicism, this is where you are going to experience the very things that I have talked about this morning. You believe that in this Catholic faith, you find the true family of God. You find this king, this shepherd, who emptied his life for you in what we call the sacrifice of the Mass that we celebrate every day and that you're here for today. And you also experience being the lost sheep in some way. And what Jesus is saying to you as you journey into full union with the Church, welcome home. Welcome into my family that I give you in this Catholic faith. This is what is being given to you. This is what Jesus wants to breathe upon you as you become one with him and one with all of us.